Perhaps you've heard the story, friends, of two fellas who bumped into each other on the street one day. One of them looked pitifully sad, forlorn, almost to the verge of tears. His friend asked, "What has the world done to you, my old friend?" The sad fellow said, "Let me tell you, 3 weeks ago, my uncle died and left me 40,000. "Wow, that's a lot of money." The sad fellow continued, "But 2 weeks ago, my cousin, whom I've never met, he died and left me $85,000. "Sounds like you've been blessed." "You don't understand," said the sad fellow. "Last week, my great aunt passed away and left me $250,000. Now he was really confused. "Then why are you looking so sad?" "Well, this week, nothing." It is one of my least favorite words, nothing. It's a word that reveals lack. It holds no element of promise. It contains not an ounce of hope. And let me give an example. You work for an hour on your car trying to fix it, and then you turn the key and nothing. You get up early in the morning, you strap on your shoes, you run and for a long time, and after a week, you get on the scale and nothing. You watch as everyone throws parties, exchange gifts, and celebrates. And when it comes to your turn, your special day, your birthday, there's nothing. You kill yourself in efforts to knock out the best paper. And some of us who are studying at tertiary institutions, we know that we've written a great paper. It has the components of an A. And so on the day that is due, you go to your faithful computer and you go through the steps to pull up the file only to see the dreaded. Yeah, that. File not found. I've done sermons like that. And then I'm on the phone with Ross. How can I get my sermon? He says nothing's saved. You fill out application after application. You go for interview after interview. You dress for success. You nail every answer. Your resume is perfect. And every time, nothing. No phone call, no follow-up interview, no change, and no chance. You take your medicine. You toe the line. You do exactly what the doctor says, and weeks go by and nothing, no improvements, no change. The demand is there, but the resource is not. The need is apparent, but the solution is not. The withdrawal is requested, but there is insufficient funds. Travel is a must, but the tanks are empty. Nothing in the cupboards, nothing in the banks, nothing in reserve. Relationships are longed for, but nothing's happening. Nothing. That's why I hate that word. I don't like that word. I don't even like the experience. I wonder if maybe some of you are presently living through a nothing moment. Expectations unmet. Dry when you expected an oasis. Caring has become cursing. Wedding has become war. Health lost to sickness. Nothing. How do you go through that, friends? And there are several examples in the Bible or of nothing accounts that we can learn from. But now let me say quickly, friends, if you are living the dream, if life is all fairy tale endings for you, then you're not going to need the sermon. But for the rest of us, maybe it will provide some help and some hope. Let me give you a background. into these scriptures, our scripture verse for today. Israel was being ruled by a wicked king, King Ahab, and his evil wife, Jezebel. And they together led the children of Israel into deep rebellion against God and into idol worship. God raised up a prophet that would not be shaken, that would not compromise. And God sent him to confront the spirit of wickedness and false religion. And so Elijah confronted King Ahab and 450 false prophets of Baal to a showdown on Mount Carmel. And there, Elijah called down the fires from heaven and experienced victory over idolatry. Now the people of Israel had repented and the false prophets had been destroyed. But keep in mind, friends, that while all this is happening, there was a severe drought in Samaria. There was no crops, no cattle, no water. It hadn't rained for 3.5 years. In our text, the beginning of 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth." So Elijah went and to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. In our text, the prophet Elijah tells Ahab that the drought was coming to an end, that rain was on its way. Verse 41 and 42 we go to. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." Do you hear that, friends? It hadn't rained for 3.5 years, but God spoke to Elijah, and Elijah says to this evil king, "Listen, go up and eat and drink and take care of yourself, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." Not a drizzle, abundance of rain. And so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. Friends, while kneeling in this position, he says to his servant, "Go up and look over the sea if there's any sign of rain coming." Verse 43 says, Elijah tells, "Go up now, look towards the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." You see that, friends? There is nothing. And 7 times Elijah said, "Go again." His servant comes back with an empty report, with a negative report. Six times the servant leaves Elijah to pray, and he goes up to scan the heavens for rain, for any evidence that God has heard the prayer. And 6 times the report comes back, "There is nothing." There was no mistake in his words. It was clear. It was sharp. It was to the point. There was nothing. There was no proof. No doubt these words had an effect on Elijah. But let me say, friends, a true man of faith is not shaken by what he sees or what he doesn't see. Do you agree with that? Hebrews 11 defines faith. It tells you what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. Instead of being discouraged and giving up, friends, Elijah keeps on praying. Why? Why did he do this? You know why? Because he believed the promise. What was the promise? 1 Kings 18 verse 1. God said, I will send the rain. That's the promise. I will send the rain. So Elijah takes the negative report as a challenge to the word of God. And God told him to appear to Ahab and he will send the rain. And Elijah stands on the word of God. That's what Christians need to do. We need to stand on the word of God. Don't worry about the politicians. They mess up every day. Yeah. And we spend so much time saying, oh, this one's bad and that one's bad and this one. No, leave them. Stand on the word of God. Man, hey, we had a field day when it was COVID time. Everybody had a remedy. Leave that. Stand on the word of God. Finally, on the seventh time, his servant returns with a different report. Listen to verse 44. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, the servant said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising up out of the sea. The poor servant was probably standing there waiting for those familiar words go again. Instead, Elijah jumps up. This time, he sends a servant in a different direction with a different instruction. Verse 44b. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Hey, before the rain stops you. Is that faith, friends? Yes, man. That's faith, man. Because out of this, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Do you see that, friends? Not after those big black clouds that hung over our town the whole summer. No. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And so he said, go up. Did you put it up? Go up. Say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. In other words, hitch up your chariot and get off this mountain before, for there is a sound of the abundance of rain. There's a sound of a downpour. There's a sound of a deluge. There's a sound of a heavy, heavy cloudburst. Things happen fast. The sky grew black with wind-driven clouds. Then the rain fell. Friends, I want to ask you something. What do you do when you expect to see something and instead you see nothing? What do you do when you expect a miracle and you can't see any change? What do you do when you're holding on to hope and it seems like you're wasting your time? Elijah gives us three important lessons. First one. To live through the nothings, friends, listen, you must believe promise over proof. Listen, to live through the nothings, you must believe promise over proof. Don't you wish you knew what Elijah was saying in his prayer? It doesn't matter. You know why? Because he already knew the promise. And he was, that God was going to send the rain. He was requesting God to to do what he said. He knew God was one who always did what he said, especially on Mount Carmel. He knew God's record. So when he prays for rain, and the proof says there's no sign of rain, the faith of Elijah was that he believed the promise more than he believed the proof. Do you see that, friends? In the nothings of your life, I'm not asking you to be a superhero of faith. I'm simply asking you to remember what God has already promised you. He's not a man that he should lie. Not one word will be unfulfilled. You must come to a place, friends, that even in your present, in the present picture, in your present view, in your present reality, even though these things scream there's nothing, you must make up your mind to stand firm on the promises of God. Amen. You must come to a place where proof isn't as powerful anymore than promise, where promise is more powerful than proof. We used to say this in South Africa when we were young boys. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. Do you know there are more than 3,000 promises in the Bible? The promises of God are yea and amen. 2 Corinthians 1, it's not on the screen, verse 20. It says, God, for all the promises of God are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. We must claim these promises. We mustn't drag our feet and God said it, but oh well. No, we must claim it. Lord, I take that promise you made to me. And we must confess it. We must speak about it. Now, I know for some of you, you have proof that there is an illness. But I want to remind you of the promise of healing. I know that some of you, there's proof of a lack. But you also have a promise that he shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I know that some of you have a proof of struggling financially, but you have a promise that he will live up to his name. His name is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Do you know that in Psalm 37, verse 25, David said, man, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed, his descendants, his children. I've never seen them begging for bread. What an insult to God. If there we are as children of God, then please give us a slice of bread. David said, I've never seen this, where God's children beg for bread. Why? Because he's our provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. Some of you have proof of being weak and powerless, but you have the promise that he will give power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Some of you have proof of a wayward child, but you have a promise that you and your household will be saved. Amen? Acts 16:31. Hang on, friends. Hang on to the promises, even when you see, all you see is proof of clear skies and no rain. How many of you believe that God can make it rain? Yeah. For Elijah, the future, the faith was required to believe God more than the eyes of his servant. This fellow said, but hey, buddy, Elijah, I can't see. See, that's no problem. I have faith, and my faith is better than your sight. Secondly, friends, to live through the nothings, listen to this one, you must remain in position. Remain in position. I believe that our biggest and toughest challenge during the nothings is to stay in position. Sometimes we go through nothings and all we want to do is help God out. And so we get distracted by the nothings. You notice that when the servant came back to tell him there is nothing, Elijah didn't change his position. He didn't get up and say, oh, no, already. No, he just carried on kneeling with his head between his knees. There's no indication that he even looked up. But even if he did, he didn't change his position. He didn't call a conference on global warming. He didn't write a book on patience is the virtue. Six times, friends. Nothing. And he stays in that position. Amen. I want to encourage you this morning that if you are in a season of nothing, to stay in the position of prayer. Don't be distracted or discouraged out of praying. Too many of us shared our need with friends on Facebook rather than with the Father. Did you get that one? Sometimes when we have a nothing experience, man, we're just there sharing the whole world on social media. We send it out in cyberspace. But we don't tell our Father in prayer. Friends, don't do that. Make up your mind that you will not leave your position of prayer. And God will send the rain in your desert. Listen, Elijah, after the first report of nothing, he didn't get up and worship more. He didn't give more. He didn't fast more. He didn't prophesy more. He didn't work more. No, he just remains in the position of prayer and he prays. And when he's done, finished praying, he prays again. Do you have that, friends? He stuck his head between his knees and avoided distractions until the blue sky was invaded by a small cloud. You see that? Number three, to live through the nothings, you must learn that a small cloud equals a big miracle. A small cloud equals a big miracle. Can you imagine what might have happened if Elijah got up and said, I'm no more praying. That cloud is too small. Thankfully, he was tuned in enough that he knew a small cloud was the first sign and indication of change. Too many of us overlook the small things God has brought into our lives. We brush it aside and says, that's insignificant. Sometimes we are praying and trusting God for a miracle, and then we get a promising email or a phone call, and we overlook it that it's too small. And yet it's the start of the process. Sometimes we need a miracle and God sends someone to speak into our lives and we walk away saying, he doesn't know too much. Sometimes we need a miracle and we sense God's presence in the house of God and we just put it down to, oh, that was a nice service. Yet God was trying to connect with us to tell him to expect big and mighty things. Sometimes we hear a message. We say, oh, that's a good sermon. And yet God is trying to send you a message that can produce a deluge of change. Too often we fail to realize that small clouds can produce big miracles. Be aware, be a look. Be alert, be on the lookout, friends. What small thing has entered your life that God can make it a doorway to big miracles? You know what the Bible says? Despise not the day of small beginnings. Okay? Despise not the day of small beginnings. Small things are often the very first sign of the supernatural. So we must believe, promise over proof. We must remain in the position of prayer, and we must learn that small clouds equal big miracles. Let me just go on for a few more minutes. I believe this is the word of the Lord in my spirit to tell you. In the place where they said there is nothing shall come forth abundance. Somebody on Zoom, you've heard the words "there is nothing" not once or twice, but over and over again. Hey, there's no money, there's no hope, there's no way, there's no love, there's no chance, there's no change, there is nothing left, there's nothing we can do. You've heard those. Those words are meant to signify an end. In other words, you can quit praying now. You can quit confessing, quit believing, quit hoping, quit expecting, quit dreaming, quit looking, quit praising. But I'm here to encourage you, friends. Don't quit. Don't quit believing. Don't quit praying. Don't quit confessing the word of God. I know it's hard to keep trusting when there is no visible evidence of change. I know it's hard to keep tithing and sowing your seed when you are in a financial famine. I know it's hard to praise God for healing when your body is wrecked in pain. I know it's hard to stay positive when everything you see is negative. I know it's hard to believe for rain when you have been in a drought spiritually. A drought in your finances, a drought in your marriage, a drought in your health. It's easy, friends, to quit. But I want to encourage you, don't quit. Send your faith to the hilltop of your difficulty, of your circumstances, of your need, and of your problem, and ask, faith, what do you see? Faith may say, I see nothing. I don't see anything. There's no proof of anything. Well, pray again. Meet with God. Wait upon the Lord. Isaiah says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Friends, keep believing, keep trusting until you see the promise come to pass, until you see your answer, your breakthrough, your victory, your deliverance, and your healing. Do you know that it's always the darkest just before dawn? Warfare surrounds the birth of a miracle. A woman never comes closer to dying than when giving birth. Just before your breakthrough, you will fight the greatest battle. But let me say it like this. Your abundance is just beyond nothing. Your abundance is just beyond nothing. You can say, I can't see anything. I don't feel anything. There's no evidence, but I've got confidence. Okay? That God's word is true. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? 3,000 promises just for you. Not one of them is a lie, because God cannot lie. Friends, let me say something to you today. You are in a perfect position for a miracle. Say amen. Amen. You see, Peter fished all night and caught nothing. But the word of Jesus came and he went from nothing to abundance. He went from nothing to too much. Isn't that true? God is at work. Even when you can't trace his hand, you can trust his heart. And whether you see it or not, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Finally, on the seventh prayer, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. Great blessings come from small beginnings. With a small boy, little boy's lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus fed 5,000. God used a small boy with a small stone to drop a giant. A small vessel that poured oil filled many pots. And out of a small town of Bethlehem, God brought a savior. Friends, when we are living in our situation of nothing, let's trust God. I know we're living in a day when it's all reversed. We say, show me something and then I will believe it. But God says, believe it and I'll show you something. Isn't that true? Job said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. You may not have your rain. You may not have seen your miracle. You may not have had your answer. But believe, believe, believe. God had already told Elijah that he was going to send rain, and yet Elijah still prayed 7 times before the small cloud was seen. Now, conclusion. Look what happened when they got to the other side of nothing. Elijah didn't send the servant to go and look again to see if the cloud got bigger. No. Instead, he said, go and tell Ahab to get out of here quickly because it's on the way. And the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah and he outran the horses and chariots back to Jezreel, 45 to 46. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind and there was heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Friends, when the rain falls and the Spirit of the Lord gets a hold of you, there's no telling what could take place. I love what David said in Psalm 18, verse 29. For by you, I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. Amen? Let me say it one more time. In the place where they said there is nothing, shall come forth an abundance. Start praising him like you believe heaven's weather reports. Say, I am ready for the rain to fall. I am ready for the showers of blessings. I've got an ear tuned to heaven, and I believe I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. The drought is coming to an end. Amen. And God is sending us the rain. Amen. I feel like dancing on the ceiling now. Because I know while you all look lovely, I must say, that some of you have a situation of nothing. Hang in there, friends. Trust God. Let's bow our heads. Is there someone here with our eyes closed, head bowed, and saying, hey, Keith, pray for me? Put up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there somebody? Yes, on Zoom also. You've heard what God spoke to you about. You saying that I'm in the situation. Listen, friends, I want to pray for you. If there's one more person here who says, Keith, pray for me. Thank you. Father, you have seen the hands of people being raised as indication that they stand in the need of prayer. Lord, I thank you that beyond that, you see their hearts, Lord God. Lord, you see the need, Lord God. And I pray in the name of Jesus, you will send rain in their lives, Lord God. You will send blessings in their lives, oh God. In spite of what the world says, in spite of what circumstances say, Lord, I pray that you would meet everyone at the point of their need, that they, Lord, will know that if you be for us, who can be against us? Lord, I pray that you will give us victory after victory, blessing upon blessing, Lord God, and we will walk in this newness of life, saying, Lord God, that we trust you, we believe in spite of everything, Lord, and we will have the victory in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for everyone, Lord. You've seen those tears, Lord, when no one else was looking. You felt the anxiety in the hearts of people when no one else was looking. And how we hid behind those lovely smiles. But Lord, you see us, Lord, as we are. And this morning, we pray that, Lord, we will begin to believe the promise over proof. That, Lord, we won't change our position of prayer, Lord. And that we will recognize that small clouds represent big miracles, Lord. And we'll be on the lookout to see, Lord, how you're moving in our lives. And we will not despise the day of small beginning. We will not say, oh, well, but, Lord, we will trust you, Lord God, for everything. Help us, Lord, as a church family. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.